1, 2, 3, go! Okay.
Welcome to Sports Mad Rez's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. Over the past week, we've had 3 posts on sportsmedrez.org. That's res.org. This week, we introduced 2 consensus statements. The first was related to standards for reporting participant characteristics in tendinopathy research, and the second was regarding classification, definition, and diagnostic criteria of hip-related pain. We also summarized 2 studies where the authors found that a college with a sports medicine department reporting to or financed by an athletic department was more likely to have athletic trainers treating more patient loads than colleges with a medical model for administration. Colleges with sports medicine departments with lower patient loads had lower rates of injuries, re-injuries, or concussions. If we take a closer look at that last post, we find that the authors conducted a set of studies to expose differences in administrative and financial organizational structures among Division I, II, and III schools. First, they led a cross-sectional study to describe staffing ratios between Division I Power 5 conference schools and Division I non-Power 5 conference schools, and between schools using a medical model or athletic model for administration. To do this, they conducted phone interviews in 2015 with every Power 5 conference school and a random selection of 50 other NCAA conferences. In total, they selected 618 schools with a total of 325 respondents. Respondents reported the number of full-time athletic trainers, defined as individuals who work approximately 40 hours per week at your university providing athlete care. If there are multiple individuals who work less than 40 hours per week, you can sum their weekly total hours into a full-time equivalent. Respondents also answered how many other healthcare providers, such as nurses, physical therapists, or chiropractors, they had on staff. Staffing ratios were calculated based on the number of full-time staff athletic trainers to athletes and the sum of full-time total athletic trainers to athletes. Every school had at least 1 certified athletic trainer on staff, and each staff athletic trainer cared for about 100 student athletes as a median. Staffing ratios varied across divisions and Power 5 schools. Compared to Division I schools, ATs at Division II and III cared for almost 2 and 2.5 times more athletes, respectively. Most sports medicine groups, over 70%, had administrative oversight or were financed by the athletic departments. When controlling for the division of competition, ATs and sports medicine departments with administrative or financial oversight from athletic departments cared for about 1.2 times more athletes than those without oversight from athletic departments. In another paper by these authors, they extracted data from the electronic health records of 141 schools reporting to the NCAA Injury Surveillance Program from 2009-2010 through 2013-2014 seasons to determine the relationship of sports medicine department structural organization and the incidence of injury, re-injuries, and concussions. The model of care, medical versus athletic administration, was based on the survey that we previously talked about. The authors gathered data on the ratio of clinicians per athlete from the NCAA, which collects data from each school. The authors found that schools with better staffing ratios had a lower rate of injuries, re-injuries, and concussion. Schools with sports medicine departments reporting to or financed by the athletics department had a higher incidence of injury than those supervised by other departments. Collectively, these 2 articles support the need to restructure sports medicine departments to a medical model with a better clinician-to-patient ratio. Athletic trainers in departments that were financed or reported to athletic departments had higher patient loads on average compared to those in a different organizational structure. Schools with better staffing ratios had lower incidence of injury, re-injury, and concussion. These studies provide evidence and insight into the benefit of sports medicine departments adopting a medical model to reduce patient load and potentially improve patient outcomes and quality of care. Higher patient loads may cause a barrier for athletic trainers to implement evidence-based practice protocols, leading to diminished patient care. Furthermore, the poor staffing ratios may influence burnout and job dissatisfaction among athletic trainers. It would be interesting to know if the reduced number of injuries and improved team performance can offset the cost related to better staffing ratios. This may make it easier for administrators to advocate for more staff. Overall, the authors provide support that a medical model can benefit athletic trainers and the level of patient care they are able to provide to their athletes. Don't forget that we also share extra material on social media. This week's most popular post was a 3-minute survey we shared to ask sports medicine researchers about a new resource we may develop. And if you're an athletic trainer who's looking for evidence-based practice EUs, then please check out our 6 online evidence-based practice courses available through Human Kinetics website. We will have links to our summaries, the courses, and the survey on our website and in our show notes. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, stay well.